This week on RSBNB Update, we run through the mini quest list and patch notes, but the main feature is a fresh look at the comp cape rework. Through our analysis, we bring a new level of comprehension to this design for those on the fence. Plus, we have space talk on the topic of black holes. This is RSBNB Update, episode 719, recorded Thursday, April 11th, 2019. Comprehending the comp cape. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us once more for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis, you're here as per usual. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And also joining us this week is Parnassius to join in on the ruminations about Comp Cape and the Comp Cape design as it stands today. Welcome.
Thank you. Yep, it's some interesting times ahead with the Comp Cape rework, but we'll get onto that a little bit later.
Yeah, and you know, we're gonna start off small this week. You know, the first thing that came out this week was the mini quest list, and this is something that was supposed to come out with the original Modstew quest list improvements, but was pushed back a wee bit. But now there is a whole selection of mini quests on the quest list. Did you guys learn anything new when you saw this? Any new mini quests that you might not have done in the past that you can start doing now that you didn't know about?
I'm the proud owner of the Master Quest Cape, so I had all these done anyway. It's great for people who do want to chase that, because before you had to always look up in the wiki, you know, what do I need? You know, what's the next one type thing. So I like that it's on the quest list, because it just gives you those little hints without spoilers.
Yeah.
The problem with having to go to the wiki, you know, you have to be careful how far you read, because it got spoiled. And, you know, I like to play quests through without spoilers and enjoy them. So now that it's on that list, I think it is fantastic. So, you know, you sort of, if you want it spoiled, you go to the wiki. If you want to play through, you can look it up here and just do it.
And the great thing about this is, if you have no interest in mini quests, you can just tick the hide mini quest button, and there you go. It's completely gone, just as it was
toggle
before.
State.
Yeah, yeah. Except this
but
one,
a good, actually, but a good toggle state.
Exactly. This one makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with everything here, there's also, when you're viewing it, there's the option to see the required items for it, as well as the reward from the mini quest, just as within the standard quest list. There is one caveat with the mini quest list, though, being as though they are mini quests, they don't track individual progress as you're completing them, and they don't have a quest journal when they're complete, just because of the nature of mini quests. So in regards to this, it just serves as a general to-do list, so to speak, of these quests I need to do, and after that, they'll appear as green and they're done. I don't think anyone's going to be too upset about not having a full quest journal for these.
No. It's just nice being able to have the list, because, like Parnassus said, you always had to go to a third party to do that. And anything that keeps you in game in here is probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. So. You know, I was actually missing more than I thought I was with this, and I claim to be a quester. Just to give you an idea, I was missing the Doryx tasks, the Boryx tasks as well, Hope Spear's Will, which I had no idea that that was a thing, but that goes all the way back to 2007, that one. And, you know, that's an interesting thing with this, is it also, as with the quest list, shows the age and the year it was released. But, of course,
so you know just how long the content's been dead.
It's never dead content. It's part of a living narrative.
That's the beauty. That's what I was going to say. That's the beauty about mini quests. It is never dead, because for people who do like the lore, and that's one of the reasons I did most of these mini quests before the actual quest cape come out. I had a lot of these already done. Most things I needed when the Master Quest Cape came out were a lot of just mainly the lore books from and things like that. So things like the Fremenic Sagas, they were fantastic. I really enjoyed those. The Tales of Nomad, not so fun, but, you know, that's Nomad. But, you know, a lot of those mini quests were, you know, the Doric and Boric tasks, and just nice and basic. Hunt for Sorok, that was,
oh, yeah, that was
you
a
know,
good
running
one.
Through
I did
the
that
abyss.
One.
Yeah, that was enjoyable.
I did that one. The other ones
General
I haven't
Shadow?
The other ones I haven't done are, of course, the Dungeoneering sagas for obvious reasons.
Yeah, they're great.
Those are actually fun, Shane. Like, I actually,
but you need
those
to get
the only
the,
ones that I liked.
You need to get the book though from within Dungeoneering, and you need to do dungeons
yes.
for that.
Well,
yeah. But the books are fairly easy to get. If I can do a shameless plug at the moment, I've years ago when I first started on my YouTube channel, I did all these mini quests, and they're up on there if people sort of want to have a look at someone just doing a run through on them. The Margerite Memories is a good one too.
Oh,
12 hours.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yes, definitely.
So yes,
I think everybody loves the Margerite. So.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed those memories. I thought it was really good having those down and find them and such. So,
yeah.
It just took a little bit of time, you know, and it was you had to, of course, interact with divination to do this. And,
that's my kind of mini quest. You know what you're doing, and all you just have to do it.
Yeah,
you don't have to find anything.
And it was kind of like putting a puzzle together too, in that you had to go through various areas of the world to do it and whatnot. I enjoy those kind of quests, those ones that span the entire world. So,
and they're great that they're on the mini quest. So, you know, it's there if you want to do it, but it's not sort of it's not forcing you to do it just for your quest cape if you don't want to want to spend the time. So,
In Memory of the Myrek is also another good one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, got all my statues and the two free spots left there.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I don't know if there's much else to say about this. I can also point again to the Thieves Guild's Caper. That's one. That's a good one to do if you're interested in, of course, thieving and safecracking now. So
yeah, I was going to say you have to do those capers, don't you?
Yeah. And, you know, I was very thankful that I had those done when the safecracking update came out. So I don't think there's much else left to say on the mini quest list, so we can move on to the patch notes, right?
Yep.
So the patch notes are also slim this week, but, you know, in addition to what was alluded to this week, that there might be an incoming buff for the Tectonic and Serenic items, the Elite Tectonic and Serenic, rather, that was canceled. So we'll actually just talk about actual patch notes that came out this week and things that the players can interact with and don't need to worry about being canceled. So starting off in the combat side, the special attack from nightmare creatures will no longer deal damage after the NPC has died, of course. These refer to the nightmare muspas and whatnot in Frenesque. Next, an issue has been fixed where you couldn't collect Ushabti souls or complete Slayer contracts while on a Mandrath Wilderness task. Okay, that seems like a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gargoyle.
Has anyone done any of those tasks?
I did half of one on the week it came out. Yeah. Have you? Given your past wilderness experience?
I did. I'm actually back out in the wilderness. We'll talk about that when we sort of go into what have we been doing this week. But, yes, I went out there and got my bounty token.
Okay. All right.
I got killed farming last week, so...
What?
I'm done with the wildy. I swear,
when I have been herb farming there, I've seen maybe, you know, 5 to 10 people in the entirety of time since that update has been out.
I teleported out there the other day right in the middle of the Wilderness Warbands, which is was at that one there, and I see all these players, and I just ran south. I left my herbs. I just ran south.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Also on the track of Slayer, Gargoyle Slayer Mask will no longer allow the player to teleport into Curadel's dungeon when on one of Mandrath's tasks. So you can see there's kind of a bit of overlap there between Mandrath and Curadel. Next up, skilling-wise, a bug has been fixed where it was possible to build a player-owned house in such a way that it would make the player-owned house inaccessible. The more you know.
That's a major problem for the poor bastard that did it.
Yeah.
He's been locked out of his house for years.
This goes back to the very beginning when player-owned houses came out. There was actually an issue where you could get stuck inside the player-owned house on invisible map squares. You know, you go back to when construction came out almost 13 years ago at this point at, 2006, May, end of May, and the amount of bugs that thing brought into game is just astounding. And I don't know if this one is something that would have been brought in recently or if this was just a long-standing one that was a weird edge case. It would be interesting to know what that was. It's also no longer possible to manipulate a worn item and its mini-menu to access teleports that would be otherwise locked behind requirements or equipment.
Okay.
And also speaking of mini menus and whatnot this week and right-click context options, there was a bug with the Grace of the Elves and the toggle porter functionality in that that disappeared. So they have hot-fixed it so that the check item option this week until next week will ultimately serve as the toggle button for this. And this was a hot-fix that went out and was made public.
Okay.
Due to the way the wishing well mechanics worked, this is of course referring to the farming wishing well bush, it rapidly devalued the materials in which it was producing, which had a negative feedback loop on the price of the items, and the more you got from the fruit, the cheaper they became, which meant that you would get more of them. This was unsustainable and caused economy issues like being able to sell items from the fruit for far more than the value assigned from the fruit. The market was flooded with those items, and it caused a lot of critical design balancing issues. The wishing well seeds have been removed, which held a value of only 1 GP, and the crop itself was also removed, and they felt this was the best solution of it. They may revisit mechanics like this in the future, but that isn't a promise. Planted bushes have also been removed, and XP rewarded for any fully grown unchecked ones, and seeds have been recredited to the player for 1 GP each. I think this is something in farming that people really didn't look at. I only looked at this once or twice when it first came out, and the reason for it is because it's a money sink, and when you're farming, you don't want to necessarily spend more money to try and, on top of it, to try and get stuff on top of it. You're just after the XP, right? So, wishing well fruit was never a fun thing for me. We have an ad on the website there. Whoops, there we go. Okay. Items that you could get from the wishing well at the low level included things like cowhide, clay, water earth runes, pure essence, coal, iron. Mediums included steel bars, adamant bars, death runes, blood runes, maple seeds, water talismans, magic logs. You see where we're going here with this, right?
Mm.
Then at the high level rewards, you get things like dwarfweed seeds, lantatime seeds, yew seeds, magic seeds, palm seeds, rune ore. Rune bars.
They've all crushed enough anyway.
Dragon stones and dragon bones. So it's definitely.
Yeah, I think I grew one when they first come out, and it was like, that's back when the seeds were costing us about 30 or 40K, and I made about 250 GP out of whatever I got from it, so I never grew one again.
Yeah. And they were, they were token XP, all things other considered, and it was more
exactly,
of a GP sink and kind of a gambling. Sink on it, but you can see why when you look at the items that that were on this list: rune ore, rune bars, dragon stones, dragon bones. Then at the other tier, teak planks, oak planks, yew logs, magic logs, water talismans, water orbs,
stuff we have enough of. Yeah, wine of stuff Zamorak, we've got enough too? Of getting in anyway.
Yeah, so that definitely seems like something that was a huge exploit, and it's good that it's been removed. Mm. Definitely. You talk to any farmer, I doubt they will miss it. So,
It was only those people chasing that GP out of those items that would have been growing it anyway. Yeah. So, and as we said, yew logs, magic logs. I mean, we've got enough of those coming into the game already through other sources other than wood cutting. We don't need them that way.
Other sources than woodcutting. That could be a whole discussion in itself too, I think, right now.
It could be, so we won't travel down that path.
Yeah. Anything else in the patch notes? I think that was pretty much everything of note.
You covered pretty much everything.
Tiny, right?
It's light. It's a little light.
Yeah. We also did today have a charitable giving update, 2017 in review of charity for Jagex. Throughout both of those years, they raised £316,377, which is about equivalent to $412,000 over those two years. Yeah.
That is really good.
These combined with, they say, over 600 hours of Jagex staff time, contributed to funding mental health first aid training for 350 Princess Trust frontline staff, partly funding a mental health counselor at the Princess Trust Fairbridge Center, run training programs at Jagex for around 40 Princess Trust young people, collaborate on and fund the largest and most successful campaign for our local, of course, being around Cambridge, CPSL Mind organization that they have ever run, which was called Stop Suicide, help the YMCA right here to grow their social media awareness campaigns, and fund AV equipment so that YMCA Aware or right here can create their own material. And Game Blast 2018 raised £100,000, just over it, $130,000 for special effect.
Awesome.
So, that is really good. It's really cool.
And one of the big things, I mean, the dollar value is fantastic, but, you know, 600 hours of Jagex staff time is awesome. So it's not just the money value, it's that time that they're investing as well. And, you know, Jagex cop a lot of crap off the players about different things, but, you know, it's things like this that largely go unnoticed and unheralded for the company that, you know, we need to really take our hats off to them for this type of thing. So, you know, fantastic. Well done, guys.
Yeah. And, well, you know, one of the biggest responsibilities of anyone and part of any organization, I feel, and, you know, you can see this at local groups and, you know, we're fortunate here, we can see it with Jagex, is, of course, to look after not only the community that uses your product or service, but also the community around where your offices are, and ensuring that you know, you're out in the community and you're able to make these kind of impacts. Because if you have this huge business park set up in Cambridge and you're just there developing this game, and, you know, you're contributing a huge amount to the local economy of Cambridge, you do owe it to people. I believe that corporations and people in general do have a duty to, in effect, pay it forward that way. They're working and contributing to their own local economy like that. So,
yep. And things like special effect. I mean, £100,000 for that on that, you know, Game Blast 2008, and that's one weekend. To get that sort of money to help those people. I mean, I always complain about the size of the text and all that because, you know, I wear glasses and it's hard to read and such. But, I mean, the people out there who do really suffer and have those issues, that is fantastic to be able to bring the game, you know, to a player base that doesn't have access to a lot of things and gives them that escape. I mean, we all take it for granted jumping on the computer and playing a game, but there's a lot of people who don't, you know, who can't just switch it on and do that.
Yeah, and even you, Tanis, what we talked about this past game last weekend with Mod Porky and everything bouncing back and forth about accessibility and gaming and how RuneScape is out there on the forefront. And the special effect 2018 results speak for themselves, but also I think the community owes it to themselves to give themselves a pat on the back for being so generous in all of these endeavors, and Jagex too. So
for sure. Yep. Well, and it's kind of been full circle in a way. Or it could be, you know what I mean? Like, there's, out of those 40, what was it, 40 kids or whatever that they had, the Princess Trust there, how many are the next you know, game designers? Yeah. How, you know, just whatever, you never know. And look, like last week when we talked about, that was the third week in a row that they had put in a little touch that actually affects people like that, you know, just those little audio cues. It's huge. So, like, even the little things, I feel like they actually, you know, they're taking stuff back and making changes themselves with it. the information.
And even things like there was a few months ago, there was a streamer who set up a so-called charity stream and then ended up pocketing most of the money himself. Jagex come out and, you know, and they gave that money to the charity that this guy was supposed to have given it to themselves. Now, they had, they had no obligation to do that. This guy had done it all on himself, and now they're looking at working out a way for streamers to be able to do these charities where it is done through Jagex. So you just contact Jagex, they'll set it all up. So the money does go to them, so to ensure that it will in future go to the charity that it's set for. But, you know, just, I mean, no one, I mean, I don't know of any other company that would have done something like that where someone outside of their own company has gone and done a stream. And, I mean, it was $1,200, which, you know, for Jagex is not a huge amount of money, but still they had no obligation whatsoever to do anything. But they took it out of their own money, gave it to that charity. I mean, they stopped that guy from being able to, you know, do these charity streams. And, you know, his name was put out there, so no one will ever trust him again. But, you know, they stood up and still gave that money to that charity, which was, you know, which was above and beyond.
Yeah, you're not going to see certain other companies doing that, you know. It will remain nameless.
Yes.
I mean, you know.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So continuing on, they do have plans to continue in 2019-2020. Their charity partners will be locally CPSL Mind, which they've been working with before, in the UK, the Prince's Trust. And internationally, they partnered with URAD, which is a California-based nonprofit that has directly funded mental health care costs for 28,000 gamers in the last 3 years. And this is a new company that they're picking up on. And it is, of course, based in the U.S., but they do work internationally.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's fantastic. So, yeah.
Now, the next in-game charity event starts on April 15th, and all funds will be going to CPSL Mind and the Prince's Trust. And this has been alluded to, of course, in the April Month Ahead post, which we talked about last week. So this comes in with the Easter update on Monday. So this should be a fun one to see.
That's a bad day to do that.
Why?
Update. That's tax day in America.
Oh.
The last thing people want to do is spend more money. Yeah, that's not a good day.
They said it was a little too late to add URAD to the in-game event in April, but rest assured that all other funds we raise throughout the year will be shared amongst the three of them. And there will also be a second in-game RuneScape event in November, and they have also added donation buttons on the Jagex Charitable Giving webpage, so it's now more than easier than ever for you to lend your support. So
that's cool.
If you go to jagex.com/charitable-giving, yeah, I believe that's it, but there will be a link in the show notes. There are links to all of these three charities that they are working with, and if one of them directly appeals to you, you can make a direct donation to them on the Jagex charity webpage.
I hope they bring out the outfits again. I do buy that outfit every year. I never wear it, but I always sort of buy the outfit every year just to sort of give a little bit of support that I can to these charity events.
Yeah,
and I mean, some of them look pretty good. Yeah, don't look too bad.
All right. Okay. Is everyone seated?
Shane, really? Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
It's one of the most exciting things, I think, for this year, personally.
I don't want to.
Okay. So we did mention last week, and we did run through a bit on the Comp Cape design. And this was spurred onto us last week at the last minute, so we didn't really have much time to think about it. So we're going to go through this new design again for those of you guys who missed it last week. But, you know, I think we need to just take stock here of just how much this has changed, because, you know, when we're thinking about this this Comp Cape rework, I guess one thing we should ask is, what do you guys want for the Comp Cape rework? Tannis, you go first.
At this point, I don't want a Comp Cape rework. but that's for several other reasons. If I could have had our way, my first choice would have been what we suggested. What was it? Gosh, it was probably like 3 weeks ago now, right, Shane?
It was basically separate the passives onto the player, mm-hmm. make the capes cosmetic, and just have them be unlocks when you reach a certain milestone and reward
that would have been ideal
items for combat capes and whatnot through combat activities.
Yeah, that would have been ideal. Okay. And if I couldn't have gotten that, then at the very least, cut off the combat, make a combat cape.
All right. How about you, Parnassius? What are your thoughts on the comp cape rework? What do you actually know? What are your thoughts on this? We'll get into that. But what do you want for the comp cape rework?
For the comp cape, I mean, I want a full rename of comp cape, because the comp cape was never truly about completing the game. Being able to have the new, sort of, one of the biggest issues I always had with the comp cape was when new things come out, how much they had to sort of tailor it around. We can't have this achievement because it's going to take too long, and the comp community is going to scream about it and such. And mainly the ones who would scream about it are the PVMers not wanting to do that content because they just want to get back to their PVM. And I can fully understand that. So I wanted a comp cape that was just going to be purely cosmetic. And I think having separate combat capes is definitely the way to go. And their idea of, as you unlock it, it unlocks on your character, not on the actual cape itself, was one of the best ideas I think they had. Things like Ava's Alerter and all those type of things. My biggest thing was, I don't want to be forced into group bossing. I want to have a good comp cape, but I don't want to do group bossing. That's just not me. And that was one of the disappointing things that has come up out of this week, is the tier one combat cape is going to be called the Reaper Crew, and it is going to require all bosses, including group bosses. And I think that is one of the things most of the community sort of wanted. They wanted that cape that they could use without being forced into group content. So I think that is one major flaw that they have so far in this rework. Now, I like the idea of, the best in stat capes should come from actual gameplay. So going through things like the fight kiln, unlocking those capes there, and then just building on top of those as you get different Russian things blood, done. That is the way, should be doing these
things. Because from a design perspective, if you put that on the comp cape, or at least the combat cape, that means at the very end, the best cape in game is going to be for completing everything regards to combat in the game. But what that means that everything if they want to bring out a new combat encounter, it's got to be worse than that cape.
Yes.
Which is I don't understand why they're doing that still. That makes no sense.
No, not at all. And that's, I know you've got to have the whole talk was that these capes were going to be a cosmetic cape. These stats were actually going to be built up in game. So you would get the best cape from doing combat, so like your fight kiln, like your rush of blood, those type of things. And as we go on, we can bring out new capes that are going to have one or two, they only have to have 1 point extra over the previous one for everyone to want it. And that is I really do think that is the way they should stick to it.
And see that's still in the dock here, that if you had combat tier 1, you gain a passive 11 armor and 3 prayer bonus and 5 to each style. That's still in the dock here under accomplishment stats and benefits.
But as I said, my biggest issue is with the tier 1 being group still.
Okay.
And I think that is, I think group bosses, as in your Yakamarus, your Durzags, your Solaks, should be on the second tier. But then the problem there, we go back to things like Nex, which technically is, original Nex, not Nex AOD, which technically is a group boss, but so many people solo it now. So it is hard. Where do you draw the line on those things? But, you know, and that's a good thing. I mean, that's why we have to revisit these things occasionally, because the game is 18 years old. You know, as content gets old and outdated, I had the perfect analogy, and I said this before, but before the show, where I was in the shower last night, and it's basically, you know, we've got to look at the game. It's like a highway. You know, it needs to be upgraded and reworked as things get older and more people start to use it. You know, it's going to disrupt for a bit, and those people who it directly affects initially are going to be upset. But, you know, like, you know, they're doing the highway. They've got to divert traffic around, and it's going to upset the local people because there's more cars going down their street, or, you know, their road gets shut off and they have to go around a different way. But, you know, we need to get these reworks done and bring it up to what current game standards are, because, you know, this cape is, what, 8 years old, 9 years old?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the stuff on it is irrelevant. And the comp itself, we've had a lot of new content that has come out that you know, hasn't been added to the comp cape because, you know, for fear of upsetting a certain part of the community. And, you know, we need to have those achievements.
Yeah, that's how we got into this boat that we're in right now.
Exactly right. So, and that's why comp as itself should be purely cosmetic and should truly be comp. You'd have to do everything in the game.
So we agree on that, then. I think, is that an agreement amongst the three of us then? Tanis, does that sound good?
I don't want a rework. Okay. I don't. All right. I mean, the devil's in the details, right?
Yeah, well, let's get into the details then. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through this document that was posted here. And, you know, I should probably get that question out to some of these people on the team, Tomb, Doctor, Breezy, or Jack, about, you know, what happens, you know, if these items do turn out to be an actual cape and they are best in slot, how do you add new combat items in the future? That's a question I'm going to try and ask soon. So starting off with this, they have reworked some of the achievement categories. So the completionist category is gone. A lore category has been added. The exploration category has been renamed to areas, and mini games has been renamed to activities.
Now, I like one. Exploration, I think they should have kept the name. The mini games to activities, I do like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's what you're doing in all the areas, right? Exploration. So not too much of a difference there. Now, each category will have three tiers of achievements, with the exception of miscellaneous, tier 1, 2, and 3. Tier 1 will be completionist, and that will be defined as a player who has completed the core RuneScape experience. Tier 2 will be true completionist, a player who has completed everything except insane achievements. And the insane completionist will be defined as who has completed everything and everything insane we have thrown at them. Tier 2 and 3 achievement metas will both require the previous tiered meta 2. And to unlock this tier 2 skills cape, for example, you first need a tier 1 skill cape. And to unlock the tier 3 combat cape, you'll need a combat tier 2 cape. Now, in regards to the lore category, anything that involves the gathering of story and lore or is tied heavily to a quest is in this category. Tier 1 lore is going to be to complete all quests. That is the Master Quest Point cape. Or sorry, just the Quest Point cape. So Tier 1 lore is the Quest Point cape, visually the Quest Point cape. Tier 2 lore is to complete all lore achievements that aren't insane, and this is visually the Master Quest cape. And then I don't know what they're going to put into Tier 3 lore, which is complete all lore achievements, including ones that are insane.
Now, what I'm wondering here is things like getting original Nex lore book and things like that, because they are heavily combat oriented. I was lucky enough to have David take me to Nex, and I picked up the book in 40 kills. I know of people who have done over 200 kills and still haven't got the lore book. What I would like to see here for people is either that, you know, if that is going to be the insane one for tier 3, that's fine. But if that's still part of the tier 2, yep.
Tier 3 is going to be memorialized more than once. Prestige Memorial of Guthix to three times. And Challenge Maria, which is the Broken Home challenges. That's all they have for Tier 3 lore at the moment.
Then, which I have done all those anyway. So
Tier 2 lore.
But
includes
I'm looking at it here. Yep.
Benedict's World Tour, General Shadow, Hunt for Serac, Bane Tuner, the Myrek Memorial, Curse of Zaros, Night Waves, Training Ground, Framenex Sagas, Moger Mini Quest, Karshai's Memories, Thieves Guild Capers, Memorial of the Guthix, Bandos Memories, Zaros Memories, Troublesome Crystals, Doric and Boric's Tasks, Returning Clarence, Unlock the Aranya Teleport, On a Rune High, the Alamorisane Rune Shop, All the Court Cases, Otto the Ancient and Barbarian Scavenger, which is the Barbarian Notes, The Lair of Torn Razzalar, Potion for a Lady, all the familiar potion recipes, Potion Mixers, 26 Combo Potions, Deadlier Catch, Hunt the Thalsis, Goblin Priest Mini Quest, Claus is Rising, handing in Cave Wolf Skull, Long Live the Queen, one QBD journal, and Quiet but Deadly, all four QBD journals. Is this can't be complete, right?
That can't be. No, that's not complete because I don't have any of the lore books from the God Wars that I can see there, because you've got all the God Wars lore books. Now, maybe they will go into the Tier 3 because they are combat-oriented.
Yeah, that would be the way to do it,
I think. I mean, you need those for the Master Quest cape. So, but anyway, anything that it's difficult because, I mean, there is so much that they need to look at that is going to be affected, and that's why we don't want them to rush it. And you know, it probably won't be out this year because we need to make sure we get the design right. This is something that is needed. I mean, we do need to separate it. We do need to, we do need to let people play the game they want to play. If you just want to do combat, you want the best stats combat. You don't want to have to go and hunt lore books and things like that. Go and do the Goblin Priest mini quest, where you got to sit there and change yourself into a goblin and go and get these old priests to come out and get their things off those. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Chasing around Karshai's memories. But the other thing is, we need to make sure that these, and that is, I haven't seen them say that these are going to not be just the cosmetic ones and they are attached to your character. As long as they're still attached to the character, and in 12 months' time when they bring out a new boss, it's going to have a cape drop that is going to be it's going to have a 60
I hope so.
Thing. That's, I hope so. As long as they do it that way, I am happy.
All right. Tannis, you have any questions on lore side? Well,
I just want to say, we're always talking about, the PVM community. They don't want to have to be bothered with doing that stuff. But no one ever worries about, what about the questing community, lore community? They have to go and do the hardest bosses in the game to get lore drops.
And that's what this whole thing is
about, separating them. Yeah.
But this would be a good lore drop. You're doing combat, right?
This would be a good time to move all the combat ones to Tier 3 lore then.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way to do this.
I would prefer those lore drops. They bring in new mini quests, so you can either go in and fight it if you're a combat person, or you just go and you speak to Bandos, to General Grador, who says, I want this. They'll have the NPC sort of outside the room, so you can go in and battle him for the lore book, or you can go and do a task for him, or again, as they've done with the Elite Dungeons, where you have
a story mode with increased drops for lore books.
Exactly, for the lore book, so you get you get no XP, you get no wards other than the lore book. That's all you're running through it for. That's what they need to make sure that they look after in those type of things. Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping that they are going to be looking at. Because, I mean, if they're going to have all lore achievements as insane, that's great. You know, if those combat ones there, but you're still forcing people to do combat. If you make that compromise, you just, it doesn't, you know, you can have Bando say, you know, go and get me, you know, I've lost my helm, go and get me a helm. You can go and buy a helm off the GE and take it to him. Just something simple. And you get your law book.
Or maybe even just, you know, mini quest-wise, right?
I would prefer just doing a story. I mean, I don't see how hard it would be to implement a story mode for those. Yes, it'll take a little bit of time, but to implement that where it's 10% damage, you go in there, you take him down, you've got, you know, you've got a much higher chance at the law book, and away you go. And that's I think, all we really need to do. And that would satisfy so much of the community in that side of things. That way you'll have your combat people doing combat. You'll have your lore people just going in and collecting the book without worrying about, oh, I'm going to die, I need to buy equipment. You know, my combat level is only 100, not 138, so it's going to take me forever to do this type of thing. So we'll see what they do. But, you know, I want them to be looking at every aspect of the community. As they say, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. You've got to look at the whole, not just individual communities. You know, we saw about 12, 18 months ago, they had a survey. 55% of the community have never fought a boss.
Yep.
You know, so yep. They don't do combat. 55% of your community don't combat other than Slayer, which is not really combat. I mean, it is, but it's, you know, bossing is what we class as sort of the high combat. And 55% of your player base has never faced a boss. So let's look at the wider community.
Yeah, so speaking of that, let's actually move on to combat now because, you know, this one is, of course, as you said in our run-up to this, perhaps a bit controversial. Tier 1 is kill all bosses once, and they have the caveat here that group might move up to Tier 2. So I think if there was enough noise made on that, that would happen. Tier 2 is complete all combat achievements, and Tier 3 is all combat achievements, including ones that are insane, but nothing harder than 1,000 Enraged Telos. So, you know, I have no problem with the combat category. The group bosses maybe should go up to Tier 2. Yeah. Tanis, what do you think? We started with Parnassius first on lore, so we'll start with you first on
combat. I mean, the combat actually, it sounds reasonable to me. I'm kind of with Parnassius. I don't think anything should be dependent on group. You know, it goes back to like group projects in school. It's like, I don't want to be forced. I don't want my grade dependent on someone else. So I'd be fine if it was even Tier 3 for that matter, just because, I mean, I don't know. You have to deal with people.
Tier one is of course all bosses. Tier two preliminarily includes Takhar Mok. So defeat Takhar Mok in obsidian armor, get a Tuska mask, defeat Virago with the Maul of Omens. And I'm talking tier two here. Get the famous title, which is Morvan's special challenges, Nomad's Mirage, defeat Nomad and loot the bounty chest. Telos, if you're angry, 100, 205% enraged Telos kills. This is on tier two. Saren's per faction list, Zaro's per faction list, and Sliske's per faction list, all in God Wars Dungeon 2 for rep. Also Zamorak, as well as Conquered Everyone's Heart, so get max Heart of Gilinar rep currently in tier 2. So that's kind of things that we're looking at. Tier 2,
most of that stuff is actually, other than the Nomad's Mirage and the Telos one, most of that's actually easier than killing group bosses.
Yes. Yeah? And that's actually easier than a lot of the bosses on tier 1.
How hard is exactly. is 100, 250, and 500 Enraged Telos?
I've only hit the 100, so I don't know. But people have been doing it with Death Touch darts, which I think they hotfixed this week.
Yes, that was in the patch.
The problem with doing that is you've had 18 months of Telos out there where people have gone and unlocked their, you know, 500% enraged or 1,000% enraged with those Death Touch darts for the last 18 months. Now all of a sudden new players coming up don't have that opportunity. do they go back and reset everyone now? So if you have done it properly, you're not going to care because you can, you know, you can go and do it again. All those people who've done it with the Death Touch darts now have to go back and do it again. Now you're going to have people screaming about that if you reset everyone's Telos skills. However, they've had a huge advantage.
They reset the next skills last
over
week.
Everyone else. Yep.
So, I mean,
oh yeah. Speaking of that, you had a question about that next one. I think Sirion brought up about if there's 50 people, there's 50 roles. No, it's only the first 7 people that actually get a role. Everyone else just gets a participation role, which is not for any of the good loot.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I just wanted to bring that up.
All right, fair enough.
I had that noted down, but yeah, but that's exactly right. You know, but yeah, I mean the Saren perfectionist. I mean, just getting all your factions, they're easy.
That seems so much easier.
The Tusker Mask
bosses.
Is nothing.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
So then why are these achievements here at tier 2? Those seem more like tier 1 achievements. Then if all bosses are tier 2, then all the insane stuff should be tier 3 with the group bosses.
Well, and herein lies the problem with this rework. We're going to be saying stuff like this for years. We could seriously debate this kind of stuff for years. It's incredibly difficult the way that they're trying to do this. They're just. Well, just wait till we get to the skills one because I'm.
Yeah.
I'm calm now.
But that's why they're bringing out these design documents and that and getting our feedback. So we can say, hey, Bipedal Mask, Tokka Mock, the God Wars Dungeon 2 things, they should all be tier 1. So that's fine. And then put the groups out. They're getting our feedback on this. And, you know, as we always say, you're not going to please 100% of the people 100% of the time, but you are going to get a majority happy with it. And that's what we're looking at, getting that majority happy.
Shouldn't we could at least though make the community that is aiming at like get them into agreement, like if not happy, at least in agreement, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I did ask David to come on the show, but he was traveling at this time, so he couldn't be here. I figured he would have been a good person to have on for this section because I knew we were going to go into this, and I knew there would be questions about this tiering.
Yep.
So.
All right.
But that is it, and it's still up in the air. So what we've got to remember, this isn't concrete. This is what they've just put out there to get our feedback on. And that's what I want the community to remember. You know, before we all jump up and down and rant and get upset, this is the suggestions. This is our time to be give, you know, concise criticism, what we have, tell them, don't just yell, I don't want this. Tell them what's wrong. Tell them what you think and where these things should be. So we can say, hang on, Reaper crew, put the group bosses over into tier 2, bring Bipedal Mask and Tokar Mock to tier 1, do those type of things. So I think, you know, we everyone loves the game. We are passionate about it and we want, you know, we love the game, so we want what's best for us, but we do need to make sure, as I said, I mean, it's content that is 8 years old. It is outdated. We do need updates. We do need these type of things.
That's
to happen.
Also why we have RSBNB update nibbles, so you can get these little segments out there.
It's all about where you're putting those updates, what needs updating, what needs to be current, and what is legacy and what's cherished legacy, you know. And I think this has been a good opportunity to actually ask us questions, because when this first started, I was like, yeah, okay, this sounds great, you know. And then it's like, it's trying to like untie a knot. Every time you pull a string on one end, it's screwing something up on the other. And
more coming untangled, yeah.
And it's really made me go, okay, well, what is this? What is this to people? What does it really mean? And when it really comes down to it, we'll talk, I guess, about this with the skilling side of things, but it's your time, it's your dedication, it's your love, it's all this stuff you put into this game, and it's being threatened at this point. Like,
but
what you worked so hard to get.
But I mean, I've got the comp cape. I don't have it at the moment. I still need a Telos kill and to do ED3. But I am essentially a Comp Cape owner. I have no issues because there are a lot of things on there. I think this is crazy for other people trying to get it who shouldn't have to worry about these type of things. So as a Comp Cape owner, I don't see any issue with doing this rework and getting it out there where these do become cosmetic and we break it up and we bring the game into 2018. Because while, yes, it's cherished, you know, so was 2007 Scape, and, you know,
well,
you've got all that stuff over there if you want to, you know.
It's, and we may end up, I mean, you could forward. End up with that again.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you could. Yeah. Oh, you could end up with that again. Because it's not just the Comp Cape. That's what I just kind of realized, and I don't know why I didn't think about it, but in order to get the Comp Cape right, they're breaking the quest, the Master Quest Cape. They're breaking the Max Cape. They're breaking all everything else. Like, everything's getting all separated. It's all in developer speak. I don't understand half of it. Like, but, I don't think it's...
But the Max Cape is still going to exist. And this is actually probably a good time to move on to skilling. And, you know, for what it's worth, I agree with mostly everything that's in the lore and combat category so far. And the combat category is a bit iffy, even, which you just talked about that. But the skilling category, we did get clarification this week that the Max Cape will still exist. It will only be 99s to get into the Max Guild. It will only be 99s to have the Max Cape. And the tier one skill cape is going to be – skills cape, rather, is going to be having all 99s and actual 120s in-game. The tier two is completing all skilling achievements that aren't insane, and I think that's fine. And I will say once again that I said last week my problem with the tier three skills cape is that it says get 120 all skills and complete all skilling achievements, even the ones that are insane – and what this is effectively doing is this is effectively making all skills go to 120 using a toggle in the settings with virtual leveling. And
here's
this is setting goalposts that, yes, they're still there with the capes, but this is setting an even bigger goalpost that people will be forced or at least feel compelled to go towards. And because of that, you're going to have people training skills just to get to that mythical 120 barrier when there's nothing else there for you know, 91 million XP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my issue with this.
See, I love this idea because I want to, when
that,
they bought out...
But don't you think that having people go for all virtual 120s would be better done one at a time when they move skills to 120 with actual content to progress through and to aim towards?
Would love that, definitely, but we've seen that they are really hesitant about doing anything like that. We had such a successful mining and smithing update, but they still wouldn't take them to 120 there because people lash back. We had a vote a little while ago about bringing out a virtual 120 cape, and I think it got 67% of the vote when they wanted 75%, so we didn't get it. This is bringing in that 120 achievement cape for people like myself who love achievements and love having goals. So, okay, great. I'm working on all 120s at the moment anyway. You know, and this just gives me something to aim at. And by moving things like, you know, the Statue of Rhiannon and that type of stuff, the Master Phoenix Rank 1 Esteem, they are actual long, hard skilling things that you can do, so it gives you something to aim for. I personally do love what they are doing here.
I think having the Rhiannon statue and whatnot in tier three is good. You know, rather than having it as part of a comp, breaking it out, I think that that's good. I just don't know that I like that we're moving to 120s, and granted, we have been there for a while, but we're officially doing that now on the premise of something called virtual levels. That's my biggest problem with this.
Yeah,
well, and I was just gonna say that it didn't need to happen in the first place. When you think about, like, there is no reason we couldn't have had a cosmetic 120 max cape. There's no reason we couldn't have just had that. I mean, it doesn't. I don't see why it has to be like this.
Well, the reason they're doing it like this is because we are doing a full rework on comp. So this way, because the 67% who wanted that virtual 120 cape and got voted down because they didn't hit 75% now have that opportunity to get it. So they're introducing it now. So they are bringing it in for the majority of the community who voted yes.
Yeah, but not really, because it's associated with the skills cape. Like, it's the skills tier 3.
Yeah, so, like, but that's the whole idea of it.
See, I feel like that's it's different. Like, if they wanted it to be like that, then these capes needed different names.
You know, these might actually still get different names, because, like we said, this sounds very design-wise. Skills tier 3, skills tier 2, skills tier 1. Yeah.
Mod Jack said he wants to essentially rename everything anyway. He doesn't want the comp cape to be called the comp cape.
And see, that's the thing. This should be presented in such a way that this makes that going forward, because somebody sees combat tier 1, that's a really boring name.
And you automatically think, I need tier 2. Oh, well, now I need tier 3, right? Now you're aiming for the 120s like that with no content.
Yeah. And, you know, if they change the name from tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 to be something like the Master Quest Cape versus the Quest Cape, that might be different.
You know, that simple change would make a huge difference for me. As dumb as that is,
it would. I will point back to this. And, you know, Tanis, you know what we've been talking about before, that it's all in the presentation. It's all in the way that you present it, and you can make a point without having any actual facts involved. And that's what we did here with this, is we just said if these names were changed, there might be a different reaction to this rework.
You know, you're probably right, because I felt when we first looked at this, my first reaction was threatened. Like, I felt threatened. Like, something that I had worked so hard for was in danger now. And now I'm sitting here a week later, you know, hour into this podcast or whatever, I'm going, wait a minute, if they renamed it, that does make a difference. Because that's not mine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not – it's different. I don't have the same attachment. Like,
if I could say, they have said these aren't they aren't going to be called tier 1, tier 2, tier 3.
But it's not immediately clear in the doc.
They are going to have name. Yeah. And that's, I mean, maybe they need to put that in big bold letters that, you know, these will not be tiered in game. This is just how we're ranking them before we get names. So, you'll have all your 99s is going to be your max cape. Your tier 1 is going to be called the Master Max Cape, because then you have the 120 Dungeoneering player invention.
Then much your tier 2
is going to be called, you know, is going to be called your Superior Master Max Cape.
Yeah, your tier 3
is
going to
be called, yeah, you know,
that makes a difference.
Master of Master Capes or something like that. But, you know, they
master
will have
of all skills.
I mean, that makes such a difference. They could have called this, instead of it's the tier ones, it's the 1, 2, 3. They should have called it horseshit, bullshit, and chicken shit, and I would have liked it a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, they're just you've got to forget that the name tier is not going to appear in game.
Yeah, and how many people reading this are thinking that and are influenced by that the way Tanis is or was?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose because I watch the streams and such, I've always known that. So I never even thought of that type of thing until Tanis said, you know, I don't like this because of that. And I'm thinking, well, hang on, but then it's not going to be that. So I just assume, you know, because I have seen it,
and
all,
that was my assumption
as well.
And that was my assumption going into this as well, because I've read documents like this before, and I've produced documents like this before. So.
But if you're going to put documents out like that, you have to think about
precisely
programming type people that understand language. I mean, because, and you know, cognitively, I think I remember the stream you're talking about, Parnassius. That does sound familiar, but there's such a, I don't know, I feel like you can't help but have an emotional response when things are being, like, listed like that, numbered like that. When it's something that you are attached to, something that you worked for, you know?
Of course, yeah. I mean, and I'm the same way. I'm sitting there complaining about this tier 1 Reaper cape and thinking, oh, but then I sort of forget, but that cape itself is actually the cosmetic cape. You know, we are going to have the capes in game because they have said that we want to do this. But I was the same way. Reaper crew for the tier one, that's ridiculous. But hang on, no, that's just the cosmetic version of it. I'm still going to be able to get whatever the best cape in game is and just build up the stats on it from there. And so I understand where you're coming from with that because I had the same reaction when I saw Reaper crew for tier one. But that's it. I mean, we
two
do
words,
need to remember these are all going
this.
To have.
Two yep. words on this for. Community. Cognitive dissonance.
Very true.
Which, of course, is a discomfort felt when you're triggered by a situation in which your beliefs clash with newly presented evidence. That's the definition yep. of that. So,
and that's why. That's why everyone just needs to take that step back and look at it and you know give constructive criticism in anything that they give. And that's what I love about that. Shows like this where we can sit there and get people talking
and see we didn't have time to do this
reacting.
We didn't have time to do this last week, so that's why we're doing it again this week. I still have a problem with virtual 120s being on the tier 3
where I love that.
So okay, so that's skilling seems okay aside from that. Areas this will be tier one area, and remember this will have a different name to it. This will be complete all taskmaster achievements, so you could say this is probably going to be the taskmaster cape. Tier two will be complete all area achievements, so maybe the master taskmaster or master cartographer, I don't know. Tier three will be completing all area achievements, including ones that are insane, and looking at the spreadsheet here of what they have, and this was previously the exploration category. Tier one will now include also a new Arc meta achievement. Sorry, Arc haters out there. Tier two will include things like finding all memoriam crystals in Prif, reconnecting the Prif spirit tree, helping with Ithil research, unlocking the salty and sandy titles, killing up to 200 scarabs in Menaphos, completing 100 city quests. Souls, am I master of Slayer yet? Place souls in every spot in the player-owned Slayer dungeon. Kill 5,000, 500, 1,000, 2,500, and 5,000 corrupt Slayer creatures. Mazcab teleports the Great Ghilidor in Run. Travel to 100 Uncharted Isles. Unlock the Bone Crusher update. Herald of Light, complete the Saren Symbol. Now moving on to tier three, this is what they call is insane, kill, 10,000 corrupted Slayer creatures, complete 200 city quests. That's a painful one. And seven colors in their hat, get the chromatic party hat, of course, from Dimension of Disaster. So these are kind of, beyond, lore and quest achievements. And, you know, you'd see some of these in the meta or in the, master questscape before, but now they're split off into their own one here, which makes sense, I think.
And exactly. And that's why I don't like the name area. I've done everything. I'm sitting on 125 city quests, so I've still got 75 more to go. And but everything else on this list I have done. That's why I liked exploration, because you can have your explorer's cape, your master explorer's cape, or your insane master's explorer's cape. You don't, you know, area, I've got the area cape. You know, area just doesn't have the ring to it. So it depends what name they give the cape. I mean, area obviously is just what they're naming it in the achievements section. But I do hope they bring out a nice name for this.
Well, it was previously exploration. And if they did go to exploration, I think the possibilities are endless on that.
Now, are they going to put the perks of those things on the player as well? So like your Varrock armors, your explorers,
yes.
And your see, I like that. That I can get behind.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea, what they want to do, and that's what they were talking about, they want to put more and more of these things on the actual player themselves, so you're not forced to wear these types of, because when they bring out their like their skilling outfits, they've got to sit there. I mean, it took them about 2 months before they put the Varrock armor perk onto the out the smithing outfit, because it's, oh, hang on, people are going, well, what am I going to wear, you know, that or that. So now if you have the blackjack, the blacksmith outfit,
same thing
outfit,
with
you've
with
already
the,
got it
with the goldsmithing gloves.
Yes, exactly. So now it is all going to be on the actual player. So if you've unlocked it, it's on your player, so you can wear whatever you like. You don't have to wear anything at all, and you've got those perks there. So
I'm going to be saving some bank space here too.
And exactly.
I just want to point out that this would have been a much easier thing to approach if this had been approached with the achievement system rework 2 years ago.
Definitely. But they wouldn't have thought, been thinking about it back then. But yeah, that would have been perfect back then when they did all that.
Yeah,
I love the achievement system.
So areas is good. Moving on to activities. Complete every activity once. This will include mini games and D&Ds. All activity achievements for Tier 2 and Tier 3 is all activity achievements plus insane, but nothing longer than the Castle Wars achievement. And some examples of these, Tier 1 would be, for example, solving a treasure trail lockbox or a towers puzzle, or ICU KGP, the spotting the 12 penguins one. That's an absolutely amazing one. See, these are little oddball things like this. Now moving on to Tier 2, killing the Penance King in Barbarian Assault, score 1,011 in the Big Chinchampa game, tag 30 Brimhaven Agility Pillars, get 250 Tiers of Guthix Tiers, pick a fruit in the Sorcerer's Garden, complete all the objectives in Solo Shifting Tombs, complete up to 200 Shifting Tombs, complete up to 25 Perfect Shifting Tombs with Reward Enhancer, find all the treasure trails, hidey holes, unlock all the lunar spells, and unlock Bones to Peaches. These are Tier 2. Man, I forgot about Bones to Peaches.
So is everyone.
Where is Livid Farm at? I hadn't even heard that one. Was that on that one?
Look, that's Lunar Master. Livid Farm is Lunar Master. Unlock all of your lunar spells.
We don't talk about that.
Oh, I need to know where that's at.
Hey, that's in the Tier 2. I did that when before they halved everything you got, and they've given me back half
of
my points.
Poor man.
Which is
poor man.
I actually enjoyed it because I didn't sit there for 35 hours straight just doing that. I'd do a couple of hours here and there. And I think that's the problem with a lot of these things. People go, oh, I want to go for this. And they just sit there and just concentrate on that for 30 hours straight.
And they burn themselves out.
I hate it so much. Exactly.
Like,
I do a couple of hours
here,
a couple of hours there, go and do something else. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Burned himself out and having the game changed under him, burned himself out.
Oh. Yep. But what I want to see, again, this is what we're talking about, old content, lunar spells, what we need to do there now is bring new things into it. While we're doing this, let's bring new things into it. So you can, once you've unlocked everything, you can sit there and start working it again, but then you get the chance to make your own teleport tabs to places like Trollheim. So I don't have to keep swapping between spell books. I can make my own Trollheim teleports.
That'd be a neat reward.
Or I can go there and use points. Mm. Exactly right. That's what we need. That's the type of thing we need to be looking at. While we're doing all this, let's look at this as well and give some additional content that we can add to it to say, refreshed, let's
also do
this. I wonder
if you could make lunar teleport tablets as a ninja update. I wonder if that would fall under ninja.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but again, it needs to be. Yeah, if they rework the area up there because it looks so old.
They could just do another quest up there and give that as a reward.
That's exactly, and that's all I was going to say that as well. I don't.
Or maybe even just a bottle quest.
Ninja updates are great, the quality of life type things, but something like unlocking the ability to make something I don't like as just a ninja quest. I want content to be that I have to do to be able to do that. I don't want it just given to me. That's right. Just me.
Tier
as long
three.
As I can still use the merchant,
yes,
the plant,
yes,
that's how I'm doing it.
Yeah,
yep.
I don't care if it takes 5 years.
Tier three will be completing 750 and 1,000 clue scrolls, unlocking the portmaster title, unlocking full globetrotter,
done
4,000 chompy birds.
Ooh.
Get the Castle Wars profound armor.
Ooh.
Unlock all perks of heist. Master of Assault, max rank in each Barbarian Assault roll, and obtain the Champion's Tackle Box from Fish Flingers.
Yeah. Now, there's Master of Assault and the max rank, that's Barbarian Assault. Again, trying to get teams for that type of thing is difficult.
Yeah.
Unlocking all the heist perks. Heist doesn't work properly in Java, apparently, at the moment. So, in NXT. It only works on Java properly at the moment. Yeah, apparently there's a lot of glitches up there in NXT in Heist, people were telling me. I haven't been there in ages, but, people are having difficulty in Heist with NXT. And the Castle Wars thing, I mean, that just needs to be, unless they do something with that Profound Armor. If that Profound Armor became the best armor you could wear in other mini games, then great. Make it like a tier 95 armor, pest control and Barbarian Assault and all that type of stuff. Fantastic. You know, make it when you're doing this type of thing, do these upgrades that are going to make the content useful. Because I mean, yeah, it's great having it as the tier 3 insane thing, but it's still useless. You're still having people sitting there for 6 months yelling at people who want to go in and play the game. You know, so they're off playing playing Rocket League while they're sitting there doing nothing in your game for 20 minutes just sitting there to get these points. You need to make it like with pest control where you've got the participation, you've got to get your 5,000 points minimum before you get anything out of it. They need to do these type of things on these ones and make the rewards relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I couldn't agree with that more. I mean, yes.
So everything else in the design document looks to be unchanged from the last time that we discussed it. And I think what we have done here is we have unpacked each of these and we have effectively gone through them and pulled out why they're in this category and what the category means. And I think we did deal with your biggest issue, Tanis, right?
I think what we've done here has given me a week of therapy in an hour. And that's good. Feel a lot better.
Can I just read one other section that they have down here, just for everyone to remember? These guidelines should pave the way forward for what achievements belong in which category and tiers so that developers and players will always know what to expect from new content. New content will almost always bring new achievements, which will add additional requirements to the tier meta achievements. Doing this addresses problem two with the inconsistent comp requirements.
Yeah.
That is why we need this.
This breaks the mold and lets them say that we can split these into skilling, combat, lore, and so on and so forth, so much so that if you're really enthused about the combat side, you only need to worry about the combat achievements and not losing it if some new achievement comes out, like happened with the player-owned farm, in which everybody, just rushed through that content to get the seasonalizer, which I think is the worst thing that they added to the farm, the seasonalizer.
Yep. See, part of comp should have been, unlocking,
the breeding log?
All of the pens. Not the breeding log. unlocking all the pens and growing Shane. To adults, so at least one. At least
the breeding
one of
log isn't that hard.
No.
It takes time, though.
It takes time, and if it you need time. Help, you just got to go to your friends who have the right animals. Like, I was missing the Damon Cab Zygomite until I got a pair off someone, and then done.
I suppose.
I don't know. I honestly haven't had any trouble producing shinies.
No, but as long as you breed at least one of every animal, that's fine. You don't have to breed all four or all seven that are in there. Just breed one of each. I unlock all the pens, and then fine. That's now you've completed farming, and then you can continue on to. But comp should be unlocking everything, because if comp is going to be purely a cosmetic cape, then that is what we need to do. And then you could have it in each tier. So your tier one is unlocking your unlocking your pets, unlocking your pens. Tier two can be unlocking all of the breeding log. Tier 3 can be those extra ones like, you know, handing in Trevor the Zygomite, having all the music unlocked and that type of thing. That is where going forward, by doing it in this way, it is going to diversify the game a lot more and really give people different goals. So, you know, you just want the Tier 1 because you just want to get that, that's fine. But I want to go for Tier 3 because I love that content and I just want to play through and that's the area that I love of the game. I've got goals to go for. So, you know, you'll have your combat people who'll have their Tier 3 combat, but they'll only have Tier 1, say, in a lot of the other ones, whereas I'll have Tier 3 in my achievements or the area one and I'll have Tier 3 in my questing one, but I'll probably only have Tier 1 in combat. That is... This new design, by doing this, brings it up, diversifies it, and just adds more content for people to be able to choose a path that they want to go down.
Well, it'll definitely probably make comp a lot more rare.
Exactly.
Who's going to do that? Yeah. I mean, who wants to bother with the stuff they don't want to do?
Exactly. So that true insane comp, which is just going to be a cosmetic cape, is going to be the rarest cape in game, but it's going to be such a prestige thing to wear, and it's going to really make it fun again.
As long as we call it trimmed or something.
Insane trim.
Insane trim. There we go.
I'm a psychotic game player who never goes outside cape.
my mom's basement cape.
Yeah, exactly. Living in a mum's basement cape.
Yeah.
but I mean, you know, it's, I am really excited by this, and you know, as long as they do stick to the thing where these are going to be cosmetic, and my biggest thing is making sure that those combat capes are earned in game through gameplay, and they can sort of keep introducing new capes as we go forward. And I sort of forgot about that myself for a little bit when they said Reaper Tier 1. I'm thinking, well, why am I going to go for that for the best cape again? Because I've still got to do that part. And no, that's just the cosmetic part. I'm still going to be using the other capes. That just unlocks those achievements and just adds that little bit of extra, extra power to the cape form.
Well, I'm going to say... I'm actually going to say two things here. I've just been thinking while you guys have been talking. I am going to say I'll be on board with this for the most part, under two caveats. The first caveat being that combat tier one and the combat capes do reward passive armor boosts that are similar to what we have right now for comp, because it just makes zero sense. And I'll reiterate this again. It makes zero sense to have the best in slot item, or rather the best in slot combat buff, come from comp, because that means that every other cape that comes into game has to be worse than this. Whereas if they go with the passives, as is currently outlined on the doc right here, the passive boost, it will allow players to actually go out there and get other capes and use other capes for utility, and more importantly, allow Jagex to bring more capes in the future. So that's caveat number one for being on board. I think caveat number two comes from just the sheer speed of what we're seeing in game. I was shared a post a while back earlier this week. I forget who it was from, but 56 days for someone to max from starting a fresh account. And this was largely on mobile, playing AFK and, you know, not too much active gameplay, but 56 days to max. And
that has to be like, but how many hours a day?
If it's somebody who had a job with a lot of idle downtime, I think it was, you know, between 6 and 8 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it probably took more than that for me to get a 99, my first one.
So I think what we need to do is we just need to beware that by setting the goalposts for 120 for the skills cape, the tier 3 skilling cape, and having that set there, that the boost and benefit for going for tier 3 skills cannot be so great that should another skill come out that does go to 120, a player is deprived of something. Or that's not what I mean. Should another skill that we have in game, like say summoning, go to 120 in the future, the benefit of the tier 3 skills cape should not be so great as to invalidate whatever comes between 99 and 120 summoning, or 99 and 120 woodcutting. And that's why I think, and my biggest mental roadblock to having this on the tier 3 skills cape, is that I feel once again it could potentially come back in the future as a potential handicap, in that if they take a skill to 120 that is currently capped at 99, they're going to have this whole gate of content open to these people on day one. So that's my mental roadblock to being fully on board with this design. I think one problem to it would be that if they ever did bring another skill that we have in game, say summoning or maybe woodcutting, to go to 120, I think it would only be fair to ask everybody to level up again going to 120 if they already had them.
That'd be fair enough.
Because, you know, you can't put in 91 million XP worth of new levels into a skill if it's a standard skill and have that unlocked on day one for somebody, because that is a significant portion of gameplay that people are just going to be able to skip over and not be able to play, or not be able to enjoy progressing through, so to speak.
Well, and think about this. Every time that they would try to – say they took summoning to and made it a real 120, right? They reworked it. It has content all the way up. Well, now that's going to move into the tier 1 cape and out of the tier 3 cape. So the tier 3 cape gets easier. Tier 1 cape gets harder. If that continues to happen, then where does that leave it?
Huh.
The problem is, I think they're very hesitant to do 20 because the reaction they got from Slayer, people wanted a lot more content there. So, yeah, mining and smithing, I wanted at least smithing to go to 120. I mean, if they kept the gathering skills at 99 but the production skills got up to 120, I would be happy enough with that. But people just I much as I want it, and much as a lot of us skillers want to see true 120s, I don't think we're going to see anything like that in the near future, because people just complain too much. So that's why virtual 120s, I think, are going to be the way. I mean, I hate the 200 mil cap. I think it is. Yeah. I mean, I was a big supporter of prestige system. I wanted to see that come in. That
and
never
once
happened.
Again, something that wasn't explained properly and went down.
That's right. But even if we had now, because you've got the pets in game, why can't, if I've hit 200 mil, why can't I then start siphoning XP into a pet and growing that pet? Just get a little.
Even if it was 50 mil at a time, that would be okay.
Yeah. Or even if, as I hit 99, I can then siphon 99 a pet. You know, I get 120, then my pet can go to 120, something like that. But the game is 18 years old. There are so many people who are starting to reach, there's a lot of max players out there, and now that's why the 120s, love the tier 3 that I am going to have a cape to recognize it.
Okay, so let's turn this on its head then. You made a good point, Tanis. If they brought out, say, 120 woodcutting or 120 summoning, the tier 1 skills cape gets harder and the tier 3 gets easier.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how do we feel about that?
Well, then you'd have to put the tier 3 to all 200 mils, wouldn't you?
It seems a little ass backwards to me.
Hmm.
But you said that in passing, but that's not a bad idea. 5.4, that's the end goal.
What do you do
goal,
after
right?
that?
But that's right. Once you max,
what do you do
and that's
after what,
that? That's why we need either a prestige system or, siphoning siphoning XP into pets where they can grow, or lift the 200 mil cap. Let's make each skill 5.4 bill.
But the thing is, if you did that, you'd be doubling the amount of storage that is needed.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And just before anyone asks if you can actually remove XP, Jagex removes XP all the time. We have numerous cases in our high score table with negative XP gains.
Mm.
From people who were rolled back or people who had XP removed or something or other.
got and busted. That, I mean,
there is nothing wrong with I can still I can still maintain my 99, but I have to earn that extra 91 mil XP to and just go through and unlock that content. I have no issue with that at all. If they released a skill to 99, I would have no problem with them rolling me back and making me do it all over again, because A, it extends my game time and my play time and my enjoyment of the game. I am scared of when I'm hitting 90. I mean, farming at the moment.
Oh, yes, me too.
Farm scares me because I am just getting – I mean, I want to get my 1 million beans because that's one of the achievements, and I'm about 40K beans away from that.
Just so you know, you don't need to actually check the animal. You can just remove the animal and sell it for the beans.
That's right, but, to me, I mean – I don't, but I mean, then I still feel like I've wasted my time. I've grown it. I want the XP, but I don't want that much XP. But it's like collecting dragon manure. I wish I could collect. I wish there was a toggles for no XP off dragon manure.
Yeah,
that's why yeah. I would love to have a.
That's actually
one of the
how
farm.
I hit 150 mil.
Farming
XP.
That's how I hit 120. I was collecting my dragon manure, and all of a sudden. How did I get that? but that dragon mule, if they had a player, a farm hand who collected that for me, so I'd get no XP, I know. But it would have just made it so much easier because I would get no XP and I'd still get the manure that I wanted.
You know, that's a job for an alt. They do the jobs that we don't want to do.
Dragon manure is not, ultra compost is not tradable.
Oh, well.
Isn't it? Same.
I thought it wasn't.
Oh, I thought the dragon manure wasn't, but the
ultra compost is tradable.
Yeah, but the dragon manure isn't, but the ultra compost is.
Let's see. I wonder, do people actually buy it?
It's fairly expensive.
Too rich for my blood.
Because I collect all my own.
Yeah, me too.
But anyways, we're getting off track here, so I think we're done with the comp cape rework. I think I am.
If I could
just
direct everyone to Thieves' post that's in – yeah.
Okay. Let's I just want to say that I'm almost on board with this, and the fact that if they make something go to 120, the Tier 1 gets harder, but the Tier 3 would get easier, that almost changes the equation on that.
Yeah,
but then maybe if they did do that, maybe they just then they rework it where Tier 1 will be just all 99s. I know you couldn't do that because you've already got the other ones saying 120 anyway.
Yeah.
So no, forget what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it still is an issue of ensuring that people play through the content. Maybe they could just add some kind of token little mini quest at the end that requires 120 to unlock an achievement at the end if they were to do that. And then that might be a different way, you know, just to like, let's just say, for example, they did it with smithing and there was a set of armor at 120 smithing. Obviously they didn't do this, but this cape rework was already out and people had 120 smithing and then smithing went to 120. What they could have just done and that they could say is that in order to unlock your skill tier 3 achievement with 120 smithing coming in, you just need to create a set of masterwork armor. If it was at 120.
You'd have to see in that regard, I would make people make a full set of the highest tier in each level.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's to make sure that, you know, they do all the content.
That's the issue that I am concerned with. That's a good way of explaining it, what the issue I had with putting the 120s in there was, is that you're going to have people with the skilling tier 3 cape should something go to 120 eventually in the future. And
but you're still going to have people like me who are going to have 120 because I'm working on all 120s at the moment anyway. So whether there's a cape there or not, I'm still going to have that advantage if they don't do a rollback because I've already gone for it.
Yeah,
whether
there's I think a rollback would going probably to get be it, too harsh. So.
Yeah. But as you said, that little, you've got to do, like with Slayer, if people already had 120, but you still have to go through and kill each of the new creatures, get one task and kill all of them first before you could unlock that thing.
Before
you
could unlock the 120 Slayer cape?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that type of thing when they did something like
that. So if they did something like that, then I think that would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I sort of that hasn't been mentioned again since I think it was about 6 or maybe even 12 months ago, where Mod Osborne was talking about at the end of each skill that there would be like a little quest where you have to go and actually create your own cape, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That I haven't heard that again since, but that I thought was an absolutely brilliant idea. I'd love to see them sort of revisit something like that as well when they do these type of things.
Yeah, it would be cool to not have to buy a keepsake key, you know, every time.
Yeah.
Let that unlock it, you know. That would have been cool.
Yep.
All right, so we do also want to highlight Thieves' original post. You know, this was a good post, and I think it still stands as being a good idea. There will be a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I'll run through his proposed changes again quickly. So for the untrimmed comp cape, Jagex should remove all existing requirements, boil the cape down into something much simpler, and create what is essentially an untrimmed comp cape. One big argument around the community is that the step from maxing to comp is too hard, so an untrimmed version would create a nice stepping stone for further achievements to come. To get this cape, one would need to have achieved max, achieved 120 Dungeoneering, Invention, and Slayer, completed all quests, and completed all tasks. So that kind of sounds like a combo of Tier 1 skilling and Tier 1 lore, I think, and Tier 1... what was it? Which one was the Taskmaster one? I forget. I don't know. But
that was the area
exploration.
Areas,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Continuing on from that, it would have no extra stats on top of max. However, upon reaching it, aesthetics aside, it would include the cape slot rewards from the questing and task sets. Okay, we're already going down on that path. And ironically, this simple change is more in line of what comp should be without confusing players with lofty requirements such as ports, trio missions, random requirements such as the 1,111 Chinchampa score, dated requirements such as bones to peaches, and half measures such as finishing 33% of the memorial to Guthix. The second part was decluttering, which was a large portion of the existing comp and trim requirements should be placed into a more subtle, suitable category of master quest cape. Boy, I think that's kind of been done with this too, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. Arc, Menaphos, and Rock should be in there too.
Just one thing. This when Thieves was writing this, he was still looking at having actual stats on all these capes,
right,
which is what they have now moved away from.
And
so
I
just keep that in
better.
Mind when – yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely for the better.
Yeah. So, you know, it's looking like Thieves' idea was pretty much along the lines of what Jagex went with, except maybe just shifted a bit more towards more granularity.
Yeah, it's just split up a little more.
Issue of Reaper, of course, is talked about, including defeating every boss, including Solak. He says it's part of a game and should be actual completion, and one of the many reasons that the current comp cape is so desirable to PVM is it combines all the most powerful capes into one. And he proposed that the remaining PVM requirements, such as the Slayer Codex, Reaper Crew, and even killing the Penance King, should be in their own PVM category.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty much what
they're and then the about. Remaining requirements, including Damarak and Rihanna, should be in and Full Agile, and Prestige and the Memorial should be in a category of their own. Done. And then completion branches. White particles, black particles, and gold particles, differentiating the various different tiers of it.
I still think that would be good.
And, you know, that's an
but
idea.
But I want a name. Give me a name.
Yep. Yeah, it all comes down to the name. And, you know, I think we did a good chat on that earlier. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So I'll take a moment to now and I'll just say thank you to our wonderful Patreon supporters this week. This week we'd like to thank Brock H., Diana, Kyle, Sojus, the Devil. I'm not sure I pronounced that right. Tom V., Zach K, and Zez. Thank you very much, everybody, for supporting us on Patreon. And for those of you guys who want to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/RSBNB. And what we offer there is three tiers of support. So for $1 a month, you get a special mention in the show notes, early access to them, the ability to join in our roundtable discussions, the ability to vote on topics for the monthly bit, which will be happening next week. So lots of stuff you get for just throwing in $1 a month. You even get access to the whole back catalog of monthly bits. And for $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank on Discord, a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality audio versions of the show. And finally, for $5 a month, you get a special shout-out each and every week, as well as exclusive access to the clips that we use for the clip show at the end of the year. Currently, we're at the $30 tier, which means we're doing our monthly bit bonus show. As I mentioned, next week we'll be doing a vote on the topic for April. And for $30 a month, when we're at that $30 tier, which is where we're at right now, we're doing Inside RSBNB Update interviews with the host and production team. Last month was Tannis. We're not sure who we're going to do yet this month, but we can pretty much guarantee it'll be a fun interview to read. And should we reach $50 a month, we'll do the RSBNB Update Roundtable on the first Saturday of every month, hosted in Discord. A wide-ranging topic, wide-ranging discussion on anything and everything RuneScape-related. And finally, should we reach $99 a month, we'll be doing movie night once a month in the RSBNB Discord, running through some of our favorite movies. So all of this and more can be found at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you once again, everyone, for your support.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So we do have some questions this week. We did mention that we were going to do these last week, but we put them forward. So this one from Tycho: on this day of recording, new changes have been made to the comp design document, making it both more clear and straightforward for players what Jagex is aiming for. We have previously we have previous updates presented by Jagex being influenced by players. While I love how the developers take feedback and opinions of players, I myself have given a fair share of constructive feedback and even had dialogue written for the Lorehound pet, I sometimes find that Jagex is afraid of hurting the players. My question to you today is, if you were to use one sentence as a rule of thumb to when to decide for yourself of when to listen to the public, what would it be? And as a bonus question, we often hear that the path to success, but not often how to come back from failure. If you imagine making a huge mistake that hurts a number of people close to you, how would you recover from that? Keep on the long podcast and go for those 2-hour episodes. That's from Tycho Elf of the Nordic Lands. You know, I have to answer the first part of this question, and I have to point back to Star Trek Online, because, you know, you can't get around game development in this day and age without listening to the community. The question is, how much do you listen to the community, and how much do you tell the community about what you're doing? Listening to the community is important. I'm not going to diminish that in any way. I think Jagex does a tremendous job of that. I think what in general needs to happen is that anything that is still in the purely conceptual stage needs to be pulled back a bit from the players, more than what Jagex does now. But on the other hand, things that are, you know, 1 or 2 weeks away from release, namely the content showcases that they've been doing, they need to show more of those, and they need to have more interviews with developers at that stage of the project. I think that's good. Now, in regards to revealing information about roadmaps going forward, I think Star Trek Online has a good strategy with this. And, you know, all we get for the next 4 to 5 months, and this is updated every 5 to 6 months, is we get a nice little infographic with some words on it and some pictures showing things that are coming going forward. And that's enough that players can read into them what's actually happening. And, you know, it also gives the developers a bit more license and room to move, I think. So I think, you know, Jagex listens to the community well, but they do need to pull back a bit at the early concept stuff and go forward a bit more at the late concept and almost ready to release phases. So I'll let you guys take, if you have anything to add to number one.
Well, I think it's hard. Yeah, I think that's a really hard line. I guess the best way to do it is to just use an example. I think the right way of doing it was the mining and smithing. And the wrong way of doing it was maybe EOC. Might have been not that we wouldn't have ended up with it, but just the process definitely. That was the wrong way.
Definitely, and you know, I think they're doing a modification of the process they took for mining and smithing with the comp rework. So, you know, barring major catastrophe, hopefully we'll get to an agreeable stage, and hopefully we've moved some opinions this week on the show on that. So,
yeah, I just want them to remember that the players, most of us are not developers. Like, I know that, and that doesn't apply to Shane, but like for most people, that I don't know. I just feel like that language really threw a wrench in things.
Yeah.
Like just say it in plain English, you know?
Yeah. I'm much the same. I mean, my thoughts are you do need to listen to your community, but they can't influence too much. Things like this comp cape rework. I mean, people have been screaming for it for a while. So if you are going to do it, say, okay, don't go right from the very beginning and say, okay, we're going to do it. What are your suggestions? Come to us with something first. Say, listen, we're going to do it. This is what we're suggesting. Where do you want it tweaked? Yeah, give us some guidelines first. Don't just open it up. And I mean, if you ever went into the Discord, some of the arguments and the nitty gritty things people were doing, which would affect like three people who play, that they were screaming for, come to us with something. You know, with a broad outline that we can then tweak. As in future, you know, what we're going to be doing going forward, no more than 3 months. Give us, as you said, the roadmap, but 3 months ahead is all we really want to see. We saw what happened with Menafos, where we sort of heard about that, you know, that 12 months earlier and then 6 months before is where everything started happening and such. And just that build-up of all that time and, you know, how it was released. And Menafos is a fantastic area. Don't get me wrong. I do love the content. It was just the how long it was built up for and then how it was executed that sort of hurt it so much. You know, so 3 months, I think, is the longest you want to put out there. But, yes, you want to listen to community, but they can't. I mean, I pay you to develop a game for me to play.
It's like the classic Henry Ford quote. If Henry Ford asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse.
Yep, that's right. Well, I mean, Steve Jobs. If people had of he told people what they wanted in the iPhone. I mean, we would never have got the iPhone if he had to listen to what people wanted. He reinvented things, and that's the whole idea. You come to me with your idea and a broad outline, and I'll tell you what I don't like, where I need it tweaked, and things like that. And I think if they do that more, which with the mining and smithing. That took so long to do, but at the end where they come up, okay, this is what's happening. This
Best
is what
update
we're doing.
Ever.
This is our beta. Exactly. This is our beta. Tell us what you need. Tell us what needs to be tweaked. We've already got most of it done. We're just doing the tweaking now. That's how we need to do it. And I think if they had have come through with these capes, this cape rework, and as Tanner said, you know, the tier one, tier two, tier three, if they had have already had names like standard, master, extreme master, even if they had have given it that type of title, I think would have made it more palatable for people. But yeah, that's basically my thoughts there.
All right. And if you make a huge mistake, how do you recover from it? Well, you know, it depends on the situation, I think. But, you know, number one is to identify the mistake and identify what went wrong. After you know that, you can see if it's fixable. And then if it is fixable, own it, fix it, and then move forward. Try and figure out how that mistake's not going to happen again. And what I've effectively just discovered is something called the OODA loop: observe, orient, decide, and act. It's it initially started off with military doctrine in the 70s and 80s. It came forward, but it's, you know, over the last 20 years or so, it's made its way into more boardrooms and more corporations as well in terms of a decision-making process. And you can use it to make decisions about how to do things, but you can also use it on the flip side to figure out how to respond to catastrophes or bozo eruptions or problems that crop up. So that's the way I see it, and I like being methodical like that. I don't know if you guys have any other ideas on that.
You mean you're not supposed to double down and just deny it and just keep calling it fake news?
Well, that depends on that depends the situation you're in.
Okay. I thought you were never supposed to admit you're wrong and just keep lying.
Well, there are situations where you shouldn't admit you're wrong. When you need to show strength, you should never admit that you're wrong, right?
No, you should always admit you're wrong if you're wrong.
I don't think he
was found not guilty of collusion. Let's remember that.
No, in fact, you should say you're wrong even if you're not wrong. See, this is a man that is not. This is a single man right here that I'm talking to. You do not understand. Sometimes you say you're wrong even when you know you're right. You know what? You move on with your
day. The thing is, there's also something called morale and, you know, morale around you too. So.
Yep.
You know how you make better morale? Give people money around you. You'll never have a problem with morale.
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny. All right. Well, next one's from Sirion and relates to the mining and smithing rework and something that came from that, and that is in particular the locations of the ores that were added to the world map when you hover. And the fairy ring codes were also added to the map so you could see what fairy ring code a specific fairy ring needed. So what information should next be added to the world map?
Maybe some hidey hole.
One before.
Yeah, the hidey hole locations.
Yep.
Hidey hole locations would be good.
I like that one.
I don't know if it's even adding, you know, more things to the map. Hidey hole locations are good, but I think just, you know, more information would be good too. Like if I hover over a farming patch, what's at the specific farming patch? What can I grow there? Mm. What level does it unlock? Do I need any specific quest to gain access to it? That kind of thing, you know? Like, for example, there's that one farming patch on that island in the southeast from that quest that's really hard to get to, and you really can't grow anything there, but it shows up on the map as a farming patch. I think it'd be nice to show what exactly you can plant there, if anything. So,
or even better, Shane, like a quest location on that one quest, you know, it starts in McGriver's Woods. I forgot the name of it. Yeah.
No, I love that.
Can we add that to the map?
I just started cutting down every tree.
They did add a quest icon to the map for that quest.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. After 2 weeks, they did. Yeah, they said that after 2 weeks that they'd add it, and they did. So, yeah,
that was a beautiful one thing, quest.
I love that. That was probably my quest of the year, really, for how much I didn't hear, know anything about it and had to just search everything.
And you know what one's going to come out next? Hopefully that's going to be like that. Elemental Workshop Part
5. No.
I must admit, Shane, I am with you. I enjoyed the Elemental Workshop quests.
Thank you.
I love puzzles.
just do it on do a video of that, Parnassius, so I can watch, because I don't want to do this.
It was funny. I loved doing it, and then I was doing a run through with Magebit on my Iron Man account, and I'd actually, because I was on my pain meds at the time, and I just forgot to grab one little thing, and I'm sitting there going, why isn't this working? Why can't I do this? And it took me like 10 minutes to realize that I had forgotten to grab one of the items I needed, and that's why it wasn't working for me. I blame the pain meds on that, but no, I love those ones. One I would like to see added to the map is in the wilderness that with the Slayer creatures out there, just have a little hover over so you can see which creatures are where, just to make it a little bit easier to find them. We'll see a lot of them are underground, though. That's the issue. But, yeah, certainly, I mean, if they're above ground or, you know, if they're in a cave, like if you go to Trollheim, you can hover over and sort of see, okay, there's trolls down here and things like that. But love to see that where you can just hover over the map rather than having to go to the wiki, look up, okay, where am I going to find these guys type thing. So I'd like to see that happen.
All right. Well, that was great. I think we got three very good suggestions there. Tannis, do you have anything other than the quest icon?
Nope.
Alrighty. Well,
Heidi Halls.
Heidi Halls, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
right. Well, with that being said, we'll move on to tech news. But first, if you guys want to send your own questions in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a DM on Twitter or at mention us at rsbnb, and we will include your questions in the podcast for the next week. Okay, so in tech news this week, the first public release has been made available of Chromium-based Edge for Windows 10, and this made stories at the tail end of 2018 that Microsoft was abandoning their own rendering engine, and here we have it today in April, the first build of Microsoft Edge using the Chromium Blink rendering engine is now available to try out. And, you know, the benefit of this is that every advancement made to Chromium will make its way into Edge, ensuring that it is one of the fastest, if not the fastest, web rendering engine out there. And Microsoft gets to use that effectively for free with this. Well, on top of that, just putting in everything that we had and we liked about Edge in Windows 10. Namely, I think the integration with the note service was good. 10 is for you. I think it was the voiceovers, right?
And, well, just the accessibility all together, because like I can, there's a setting where all I have to do is hit it. I think it's an ease of accessibility, but essentially like white web pages are give me a black background. So it changes the contrast. You could do that before on your computer, but it never follows the
never
browser.
Never follows Chrome.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So that's actually my favorite part of it.
Yeah. And you know, they're also going to be bringing it to mobile devices too, which is a bit hot, I think. I mean, I think everybody on iOS uses Safari and everybody on Android uses Chrome. I think that's probably given just from how it interacts. But in general, I mean, it looks like Edge. It doesn't look like Chrome. It doesn't have Google's interaction, or rather integration with it. I don't know what the extension scene is going to look like, but, you know, what this says to us is that we're probably about a few months away from a public beta on this, and public release, just based on how these cycles go, will, I would guess, make its way into the fall Windows 10 update.
Okay.
And, you know, even if you look at the settings page, the settings page is reminiscent of Chrome, but it's got its own Edge flavor to it, if you know what I mean, on that. Just, you know, it feels like Edge, whereas Chrome feels like Chrome, just that same general feeling. So, you know, if you have Windows 10, this might be something worth checking out. Granted, it is still what they're calling Canary, which means that it's going to be updating really frequently, and there's potential to have bugs show up in it. But, I mean, hey, if you want to play around with this, you might as well. Or if not, you could just wait till it comes out on dev or beta. And, you know, one reason that Windows 10 users actually need Edge is that Edge is the only browser right now in Windows that is allowed to stream 4K video from Netflix due to DRM security. So, but yeah, this is just a notification out there for anybody who was interested in Edge and wants to see where Microsoft is going with this and if it's going to perform better with the Chromium engine. And let's be honest, it will, because what Microsoft did when Windows 10 came out is they took the rendering engine that was running Internet Explorer 7, 8, 9, and 10 and just upgraded it for Edge, made it more secure, made it more modern, but they were constantly in a race to ensure that they had the fastest connection, or rather the fastest software for that. And in the race to focus on fastest software, the browser fell behind. So their hope with this is that they'll be able to just use the rendering engine and have a browser that's better for everyone. All right.
I might move away from Firefox again. If anyone knows Chrome, I used to use Chrome all the time, and Google owns YouTube. Yet, if you try and upload your own when you do your video, and if you try to do a custom thumbnail, it would always come up a JSON error.
Yeah, that's still happening. You need to go into the studio to do that.
Yeah, no, if you just do it on Firefox, really? No issues at all.
Yep. Really?
That's why I moved back to Firefox. Okay. Firefox just does it automatically.
I've been having that problem for months, and I had no idea that it would work in Firefox.
Yeah, go to Firefox. I was looking up, why am I having this issue? And people going, oh, you got to go in a studio, you got to do that. I said, what? And then someone said, no, just use Firefox. So my last few videos I've been using Firefox, and it's worked perfectly, so I'm now a Firefox user.
Okay. Well, Firefox is pretty quick too, but I think it might be worth trying Chrome Edge. Okay, so this next piece of tech news is something that we have never seen before, and people, of course, have in certain areas have been asking, is this even real? Well, yes, it is. What we have here are pictures of the first ever observed black hole. So this was an observation made by an international network of telescopes called the Event Horizon Telescope, and the whole idea behind this was to observe black holes. So what we have here is a blurry picture, because it's very far away, of a black hole of the center of a galaxy called M87. And for anybody wondering what exactly a black hole is, what happens is that if you have a star that is massive enough, it will go supernova, meaning it will explode when it dies. But there can also be stars that are supermassive. And when those ones go supernova, they create a black hole. And in creating a black hole, what happens is that these are hugely massive objects, and they will just suck in everything around them in the neighboring area and destroy it. And to give a bit of an example of the scale that we're talking about here, this observed black hole comes from an elliptical galaxy 55 million light years away. Now, what that means is that the light that we're seeing from this black hole in this observatory was emitted 55 million years ago. And the black hole itself is theorized to be 6.5 billion times more massive than our sun. Just for sheer scale here. And if we look up what our current mass of the sun is, I should know something like this. The mass of the sun is about 1.9 times 10 to the 30 kilograms. So 1.9 with 30 zeros after it. And imagine something being 6.5 billion times as massive as that. And that's what we're talking about here with this black hole. And what we're actually seeing here in this photo is a dark spot in the center. That is, of course, the black hole. But everything surrounding it in that galaxy is being pulled toward the center of it and is being devoured by that black hole. And this is a first-in-the-lifetime observation for us, because prior to this, black holes were theorized. We hadn't seen any of them by their very nature, in that they're dark, they're black, and they're hard to see. But this one, we can see quite clearly, relatively speaking, with this with the photos that were taken here.
How do they do that? Since light shouldn't be escaping from there, right? I mean, light can escape a black hole.
But what we're seeing is everything surrounding it, and then the black hole was massive enough that we are able to see the event horizon around it that shows the black spot in the center.
The way I was watching this on the news last night, they had someone on there. Apparently, that's all the gas that's surrounding it, and that's the light is shining off that gas. It was really interesting. I saw this, and I thought, wow. Just because, I mean, we've always heard about them, and Stephen Hawking has always been a big believer in these things, but we've never actually had real proof. And to see that real proof now, it was just like, yeah, it just sort of sent shivers. It's like, wow, you know, it was just like just one of those things. You know, just it's now proven to be – a theory has been proven to actually exist. So it was a really good thing to see.
Yeah, and you know, what we're seeing in the photos is a jet of gas that extends 1,000 light years from the center of that galaxy. And the particles in that stream are traveling near the speed of light, shooting out from the event horizon of the black hole. And that's what allows us to see them through this array of telescopes. So it is truly amazing that this is humanity's first ever observed black hole. And that, you know, we can see that it's a spot like that, and there might be people out there that say, okay, this could be a black hole, but what if it's not? What if it's something else? Well, you just have to look at what's exactly happening around the area and the observations that are happening at different spectrums like X-ray and ultraviolet light and so on and so forth that effectively confirm that this is indeed a black hole at the center of this galaxy. And we have observed it. So, big news this week for space science program. And tech. Yeah, definitely. Definitely great to see. Okay.
And how many telescopes? They use a whole bunch of different telescopes.
I think
telescopes.
It was six or seven.
Yeah. I mean, just to get all them aimed there at the same time to catch that
spanning
thing.
Spanning the Western Hemisphere of North America all the way down to South America. So.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I think it's like six or seven that were in the array. But.
Hmm.
All right. Our last piece of tech news isn't really a piece of tech news, but it's a webcomic that accurately summarizes the current spat that's been going on between Epic and Steam. So this is from Control-Alt-Delete. It says, what's new in the dear world? Or what's new in the world, dear? These consoles out there are still fighting to kill each other off. So uncivilized. Boom. Oh my. What's that? The neighbor is coming. What's this neighborhood coming to? And then outside, you have another one running around being a game store, being, of course, Epic Games, running around saying, yeah, blam, blam, setting the world on fire with Molotov cocktails and firearms. And that's, of course, Steam and Origins and everybody else's reactions to what Epic Games is currently doing right now. And, you know, this is actually a stripper because there is no clothes on this Epic Games figure, and they've actually blotted
pixelated
parts of it out. So, you know, that's a fairly accurate summary of what we've been talking about in regards to Epic Games recently. So I just thought we'd share that. And that one comes from Sirion submitting it for the show. So
that's great. That's pretty apt.
It really is. It really is. Everybody just, you know, concerned with what's happening with all the different consoles and whatnot. And then, oh, there's someone making big racket outside, so much so that the guy's orange juice and plate spills over that it's Epic Games causing problems and setting fires. So. All right. So moving on to our other things. Well, we do have some achievements this week, so let's get started with those.
We have RollerDude540, who hit 99 cookies. April 9th, 2019. BlindMan0122 with 99 construction, April 9th, 2019. Arcris, who hit 120 defense on April 8th, 2019. Someone called Tannis79 hit 120 constitution on April 5th, 2019. And ProdigalGaz, who hit 99 runecrafting on April 5th, 2019.
Nicely done. Continuing on with that, we have Captain Metaphor with 99 fire making on April 5th. Captain Metaphor again with 99 woodcutting on the 4th of April. And then Protocol Gaz once again on April 4th with 99 strength, 99 slayer, and 99 ranged. Nicely done. Nicely done, everyone.
You had a busy couple of days.
Indeed he did. Well, you know, we're approaching the end of the show here, so I'll just take a moment before we do our pick of the week to remind everybody about our survey, which you can find at update.rsbnb.com/survey. And what we want to do is we want to gauge a bit of a picture of what our audience looks like, what exactly level of achievements you've achieved on RS. Then we have some questions for you about RSBNB update, like how long you've been listening to the show, where do you listen to the show, and in general what you think about it. And we would be ever so grateful if you guys were to fill this survey out for us. It really helps us in terms of planning the next 6 months to a year of what we're going to be doing on the podcast and knowing our listeners. So you can fill that out. We don't collect any personal information at update.rsbnb.com/survey. Please fill it out. Thank you very much. Okie dokie. I believe you have a pick of the week for us, Parnassius.
I do, and this is a TV series that has recently come onto Netflix here in Australia. Now, it was on Spike TV. It did. It was only two seasons. It was 2016-2017. It's called The Shannara Chronicles. For anyone who is an avid reader, Terry Brooks had a series of Shannara books, and this is based on those. I think it was the second series, second lot of books that this was based on. They do wrap it up. So it's more like a mini-series that went over two seasons. There's 10 episodes in each. But basically, if you like your elves and humans and dwarves and demons and wizards and things like that, it's more of a sort of a Game of Thrones for a younger generation. Okay. Yeah, you can let your kids watch type thing. So basically, just that type of just that type of book where, you know, the main character Will, he's the traditional half elf, half human, who has to sort of go through and save the land, and teams up with the magicians in this are called druids, and goes through all that. So just a really. I've only got through the first season so far, but I've been told the second season does actually wrap up the whole storyline. So it's like just one of his books that has been put into a two-season miniseries. So that's the Shannara Chronicles, it's called. And, yeah, it's on Netflix in Australia. I'm not sure where you would find it elsewhere. I think you can get it on Amazon in America, looking at TV.com. So, yeah.
All right. That the name of the book too?
Well, he's got a whole series. There's a Sword of the Shannara, the Elfstones of Shannara. Everything is of the Shannara, Scions of Shannara. This is just the Shannara Chronicles, but he's got, I think, there's actually just been a new couple come out as well. I think there's about 10 or 12 Shannara books all out so far. I've got 10 of them, but yeah.
All right. According to the wiki, it premiered on the US on MTV.
MTV, was it? There you go.
Yeah, and then it moved to Spike. Now the Paramount Network. I'm not exactly sure where it went after that. Right, it was canceled after two seasons. But, I mean, hey, I mean, two seasons, 20 episodes, that's still something to look into. And then if it's interesting, there's the books as well. So we'll put a link in the show notes to that at update.rsmovie.com.
Mm. But what I like is the final episode does wrap it up. So
good. Yeah, there's nothing worse than being left hanging by a show that gets canceled.
Yes. Well, that's what I've been – I mean, I haven't seen that final episode yet. But, yeah, I was told it does actually wrap it up. So it's, not a big deal that it doesn't sort of continue with third season.
All right.
You're not left hanging.
Well, what have you been up to this week, Tanis?
Well, I kind of jumped in the latter part of a strength competition for Fealty.
I thought you said you were done with those.
This was only a week. Okay. Only a week. I only did it for like 3 days. So,
how'd you do?
Second place as of the beginning of the show. So I'm done. So 21 mil though. So it's, second place is 21 mil. So.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And that really makes me want to get going on these new skill of the months in May, or skills of the month, as we're going to be calling them. So that should be good.
Yeah, yeah. So that and I got a champion scroll while I was
oh nice
competing. So
which
one? I can't remember zombies. I can't remember if I have ever gotten one or if that was the first one. I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, the master of dead content here was doing armored zombies for a strength competition.
And, yeah, nothing wrong with armored zombies. I remember when those were amazing before EOC, and evidently still are. So.
Well, yeah, you can push them to 1.1, 1.2 if you try.
Wow. Yeah, I was getting about 600 when I was going for my champion scrolls with them. Well, that's awesome.
Did they drop anything interesting?
Champion scroll.
They did this. There was something that was worth about 6K, and you sort of got a few of those. But yeah, nothing really interesting. It's mainly just the XP you do on those.
Okay.
Yep.
And because they die so quickly, the scrolls are fairly quick to get from it.
Nice.
The worst one is getting the imps if you're chasing the champion scroll. I've got the champion of champions title. Imps is the worst. But what I went down into that new Slayer dungeon, sort of underneath Mauritania, where they've got the dark beasts and the abbey demons. And they have the imps running around there, and I've left there because my legendary pet kept picking up things off imps, which was annoying me. Because it'd kill that, it'd run over them and things. But, if you are chasing, if you want those scrolls and you don't have the imp one and you've got tasks, do them down there, because just killing those creatures, that chance of getting a scroll is a great little just added benefit.
Yeah, and I think that's why Jack did that. What else have you been up to this week, or since you last been on the show?
Myself? Sorry, yeah. Actually, I've been out in the wilderness a bit. I'm chasing the new Revenant pets that come out with when they deleted Bounty Hunter, and you can actually unlock all those pets out at the Revenant creatures now. So just having a lot of fun, surprisingly, in the wilderness out there. Seven trips. I go out for about an hour each day. Seven trips out there. I've only been PK'd twice. Three times, but I killed one of the PKers. I got killed by the two. And I've picked up two of the pets, so that has been a lot of fun. On top of that, I've been doing just some testing of some Slayer creatures just for the amount of herbs dropped. I've done four so far. Yeah, I've actually just released the Chaos Giants one that went up last night. Dark Beasts, I'll
do Chaos Giants
next week.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think it was about 1,900 herbs all up in the 10 hours. The worst ones were the Abbey Demons.
So 190 hours.
Not the Abbey Demons, the Abyssal Aberrant Spectres.
Oh, yeah, really?
190 an hour out of the Chaos. And they're high-level herbs as well. Dark Beast was amazing if you're after lanced dwarf weeds and especially toad flax. They kill it for toad flax.
The
main reason I'm doing all this is just to sort of show people that I put a suggestion out where I wanted to see a herb bag bought in that holds 60 of each herb and put these things back to being noted, unnoted drops, because being able to camp a creature for 10 hours AFK and just bring in that many herbs just sort of does hurt the market a bit. So I'm just doing a test, as I said, four creatures so far, so they'll be out over the next few weeks.
All right. I am definitely curious in terms of watching those. And, when you mentioned that many herbs, how many of them were toad flax on that last one?
I actually didn't write it down. I put it in. I think it was about 600-odd toad flax. I think it was 600 on the – I think it was 900 toad flax, so I think the other two were about 600 apiece.
Well,
the dwarf foods and such.
We're lucky then that toad flax is still holding its value.
That's mainly because of the Saradiamond and brews and super Sarabrews.
All right.
Also, if I can just bring up one thing.
Yes.
On the RuneScape Bits and Bytes site, you actually have a poll each week on the weekly updates under RuneScape News Discussion. I don't see many people sort of viewing it and voting on it. I'd love to see sort of more votes happening on there. So if you are listeners, jump onto the RSBNB site and just sort of – it's under the forum index, RuneScape News Discussion. Each week Shane puts up the poll there for us to vote on. So I'd just love to sort of go back and sort of see people vote on those and see what people actually think of each update.
Yeah, you need a forum account to do that. It's free and easy to do, so just go for it.
Yeah.
As for me this week, I finished my trimmed, custom-fitted Masterwork armor.
Woohoo!
I got the 12th trim in place, and, that was largely an effort in money-making, but those trims are going for around 7 mil for one of the Essence and 2.2, 2.5-ish for the other one, so relatively much cheaper than market value for the actual Essences, so just buy them. And, if you have the money, go for it. Because, I think if you're doing a Slayer task, this is going to be the armor that you want because it doesn't degrade on Slayer task, and it's just so good. So I'm glad that I finally have that now. But after that, as early as this Monday, I've still been interacting with the incense update in terms of making Lentatimi incense sticks. Those have been selling for above market value as well. So that one is a very popular one. So anybody who wants to make a bit of money out there, I haven't tried them in a few days. Look at the incense sticks. They're still pretty good. So, but beyond that, I think next up is going to be woodcutting. So I don't think there's much else left to say here. Vote in the update news posts that appear each and every week, and complete our survey at update.rsbnb.com/survey. You can also join us in game at our friends chat, Bits Bytes, and of course follow us on Twitter for everything that you could possibly need at RSBNB. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update.
Thanks for having me on.
See ya.